Okay, there's a Rav, talented Rav, from a small community where they sort of live in this like fishbowl kind of environment. It's sort of like an out-of-town community where everybody knows everybody and everybody knows everybody's story and everybody, you know, it's just like a very warm, close-knit kind of environment. And there's a couple in the community who have a child who no longer lives in the community. The child is grown up and moved away. And Rachman al-Itzlan, the child struggles with, doesn't struggle anymore, but is with it anymore, but is a homosexual and has married a man. And the child is a boy, is a man, and he has married a man. And he very rarely comes home to his parents' house for obvious reasons. He's not comfortable being in the Orthodox community, but he still feels he still loves his parents, and his parents love him very much, and they've been very kind in terms of and accepting on a certain level in terms of how they deal with him. And he came home for Yontif with his partner and child. They have a child. You have a kasha, right? They have a child, so they can do amazing things in a petri dish and surrogate and whatever. So they have a child, and the child went through. Child is a boy, had a bris and a gerus and everything, and they're planning on raising the child to be a Jew. The partner is not Jewish. Okay, so we're good. I mean, we're clear. So this young man, we'll call him, just to give names, we'll call him Sam. We'll call the Jewish young man. And his partner, we'll call him Nick. Nice non-Jewish name, right? So Sam and Nick, Sam is home for Rosh Hashanah. He's by his parents' shul for Rosh Hashanah. So he figures that he'll daven in shul. He's, you know, as a bachur, as a young man, he was very, very frum. And he just never figured out how to deal with this struggle, and he gave everything up. But he still has these, yearnings for Yiddishkeit on a certain level. And he's very close with his family, and he thinks it would be very meaningful and nice to daven with his family. So he wants to go to shul. Now, Nick, who is not Jewish, and, you know, doesn't really know from these things, but he wants to support Sam in this very emotional thing that he's going to shul. So Nick goes to shul with Sam, and he sits next to Sam in shul, and he perches a yarmulke up on his head in just the awkward kind of way that you could tell that, you know, he's not used to having the yarmulke. He doesn't know how to read, you know, he's not davening or anything, so he's sitting there supporting Sam. Now, had this been in the five towns where everybody minds their own business and no one knows anybody, no one would have cared, no one would have looked, no one would have known, no one would have. But being in this fishbowl community, everyone starts talking. Is that Sam and Nick? Is that that? And to complicate matters, Sam is a Kohen. So comes time to Duchen, Sam's going to Duchen with his father like he always did growing up. Nick doesn't, but Sam goes up to Duchen. And then people are in an uproar. Some people walk out, some people are, you know, motioning to each other, you know, gesticulating to each other. Blah, 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 what's going on over here? How could this be allowed? And the rabbi, fine, young, talented rabbi, just stands there and doesn't do anything. And he lets Sam duchen. The next day, Sam comes back to shul, this time without Nick. And Sam again duchens. And people are just in a complete outrage, uproar. This can't be allowed. This is showing that we approve of such behavior. It's showing that we approve of averos of this nature, of arayos, of all sorts of terrible things. And it can't be allowed. And we want to know what's the plan going forward. So what are the issues over here? What's the shadow? There are a million issues. But one of the issues is, first of all, what do you think? What are the issues that we need to... The primary issue is what passes a coin from Duchenne. If we were discuss, now, when I say what are the issues, I mean, what are the halachic issues? There is so much more than any halachic issue over here. And that's why I titled the shir, I think I gave the title was... Right, when there's no right answer. What I mean by that is, I'll give you what I was thinking when I gave that title, when there's no right answer. I had a conversation this past summer with a good friend of mine who is an elementary school principal in an out-of-town school. Really, in an out-of-town school in Florida, very successful principal. He's a phenomenal mechanech. He runs an unbelievable school. My nephews go to his school. Really, really wonderful guy. And I was talking to him. I had this idea that I was toying with over the summer, which will never, ever happen. But I was talking about, you know, the idea that there seems to be like a void in, not leadership, but a recognition of leadership in the centrist Orthodox community. You know what I mean? Like in the Aguda community, they have the Moetzes, and whatever the Moetzes says goes, and like in the very left-wing community, whatever's most liberal goes, and like, but in the centrist Orthodox community, like we have these great leaders, and the community somehow like doesn't shtel tzu to them, you know, doesn't really connect and doesn't really take guidance as much as maybe they should. I was thinking of this idea, you know, what would be if we could take, Rav Asher Weiss and Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz and Rav Herschel Schechter and Rav Yonason Sachs and Rav Rosenzweig and Rav Willig, I don't know, some group or pick whatever names you want, and make a group out of them, and you know, like, and they could be like, they could define policy, so to speak, not like as a Das Torah, but like, you know, the Mashal, every couple of years a modern Orthodox high school, a board member will come to the principal and say, I want to have a senior prom, let's have a senior prom. So the principal could say, look, we go to this group for guidance, and this group said that, believe it or not, senior prom is not allowed in the Torah, that's not something that we're allowed to do. So, and then they could take that guidance, that would be, so I was talking to this chaver of mine, and he said to me, this would be the best thing for me. And he said, I'll tell you what my biggest fear is when I put my head on my pillow every night. My biggest fear when I go to sleep every night is, it didn't happen yet, but it could happen tomorrow or it could happen any day thereafter, where there are going to be two men that come into my school with their perfectly halachically Jewish child, and they're going to say they want to enroll their child in my school. It's a out-of-town day school, modern Orthodox school. The child is perfectly halachically Jewish for whatever reason. However, you could do the math that the child is perfectly Jewish. They figure that the child is perfectly Jewish, and they want to enroll the child in my school. And he said, whatever I say next will completely divide the community. Whatever I say, I go one direction or the other. So the reason I'm discussing this is not just because it's an interesting shaila, it's the kind of thing that's likely, unfortunately, Rachmana Litzlan, is likely to come up more and more frequently now. So from I want to discuss from a halachic point of view, but it should be, it goes without saying, but we'll say it anyway, that there's so much more here than the halacha. And there is so much sensitivity that has to be, that has to be had. You know, certainly to the family. The family didn't ask for this nisayon, and they're trying to navigate their way without much precedent in terms of living in this kind of culture where everything goes and everything's accepted and everything is, you know, and to act differently than the whole culture around you. It's an unprecedented kind of challenge, and they're trying to navigate through, and they're trying to do their best, and they're going to feel like they're targets. And the greatest part of the challenge is, if you're the rabbi of the shul, the greatest part of the challenge is that nobody is thinking rationally on any side, because when people are emotional, they're not rational. That's just the nature of. There's a professor, Dan Ariely. I'm sure he's related to the Arielys from. He's a genius professor. Every time you have a genius professor with an Israeli or Hebrew, you know, or Jewish sounding lesson, like Daniel Kahneman, the Nobel Prize. He's a cousin of the Panovitcher Rav. So I'm sure Dan Ariely is related to the Arielys from the. He must be somehow. He's a brilliant, brilliant professor. He's an Israeli professor. So he's a professor in America, I think in MIT. He has a book, I forgot what it's called already. Predictably Irrational. And he did studies. I'm not going to go through the studies because they're somewhat gross. But he did studies as to how people think when they're in an emotionally heightened state. And the bottom line is they don't. And they certainly don't think clearly. And things that they would never, ever agree to, suddenly in this heightened emotional state, they agree to. So no one is thinking rationally over here. The family obviously has this tremendous love for their child, and they want, you know, and they don't want to be a target, and they want the child to feel accepted. If there's any hope that he'll ever do tshuva, takanas hashav, and they develop a whole idea in their head of exactly the best way to deal with this. And a person has the ability, and this is a good lesson in terms of Beit HaMelech Haver in general, a person has the ability, human being has the capacity to develop a mahalich in our minds where we so convince ourselves that our mahalich is correct, we can't imagine someone else not thinking the same way. And we think that anyone who thinks otherwise is just mistaken, is off base. So they're going to work with their mahalich. The whole rest, you know, whoever's against them is going to work with their mahalich. So the outside of halachic issue over here is tremendous. I want to discuss the halachic issue. So first of all, can an avarian duchen? What kind of avera does it take to pasul a person from duchening? That's one issue. Another issue, Sam came to shul with Nick. What's Nick doing in shul on Rosh Hashanah? Is it okay? Is it appropriate, right, wrong, for someone in the shul to say to Sam's family, you know, it makes us uncomfortable that Nick is in the shul on Rosh Hashanah? He's not davening to Hashem. He's not, you know, what's he doing here? Just to show that he's a couple in the shul? Hagam l'chbosh samalka imi babayis? Right, in the shul to davka make a show of it? That's not, or do you say, no, he wants to come and he wants to pray and he wants to, you know, base tefillah l'chol amin. You can't keep a guy out of shul. Rav Shachta had a shayla once where there was a shul in Eretz Yisrael that had called. Rav Mordechai Willig Shlita told me that he got a call from a shul in Eretz Yisrael that there was a woman there, was a balas tshuva, and her sister was visiting and her sister wanted to come with her gayisha husband to shul. Over there, it wasn't a fishbowl. No one knew who the sister was. No one knew. And Rabbi Willig said, I wasn't going to answer the shayla. I have to ask a gadol. So I went to ask Rav Shechter. It's amazing. So Rav Shechter said, Beis tefillah l'chol amin, let the guy come to shul. Who knows? Maybe he'll be inspired. Maybe he'll want to convert. And that would solve a terrible problem over here. So, okay. So should we say that over here? So that's the second issue. Does the guy belong in shul? Or do we have a right to kick the guy out of shul? A third, legally it's a separate question whether you have a right to go out of shul or not. But a third issue is, what's the status of the baby? They had a Beis Din, they had a Mila, they had a L'shem Geiris, everything.
Well, I assume it wasn't an Orthodox Beis Din.
It was a Beis Din of Orthodox rabbis. So, and does that change anything? The fact that they're raising a baby that they believe to be Jewish, and this Beis Din of Orthodox rabbis believes to be Jewish, or do we just say, what kind of gerus is this? It's ridiculous that it's not a gerus.
Was it adopted, or was it
in vitro and a surrogate? Is it in vitro and surrogate, but the surrogate was a non-Jew. Jewish ones are much more expensive. No, it's true. That's why I've dealt with this more than once. Yeah. So let's start with. So like I said, it's not a simple shayla, but you know, something I've been thinking about. So let's start with the following: allowing an avarian to duchen. So everyone assumes that there is a certain halacha that there isn't. The halacha is. In the Rambam, writes in Hilchos Tefillah Perek Tzvav Halacha Vav, and if you want a good collection of all the Maror Makomos on the topic, you can take a look in Shailos Tshuvos Yabia Omer Chelek Zayin, or Chaim Siman Tzvav. Rav Avadya Yosef has his usual collection of Rav Avadya Yosef type of Makoros, and very, very clearly outlines the entire sugya, but he does not talk about someone who's Nichshol in Mishkav Zachar and Arayos. He talks more broadly about Mechal Shabbos Beferesia, but you know, more broadly about Avaryanim, and then he gets into specifically about Mechal Shabbos. Now, it happens to be that this Sam is a Mechal Shabbos Beferesia. Now, he's respectful when he comes to his parents' shul and his parents' community, but where he lives, he's a Mechal Shabbos Beferesia. So maybe we can, you know, maybe that's part of the consideration over here. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Tzvav Halacha Vav. Listen to the Rambam. This is the most critical Rambam. This is the most critical Maramakum in the entire Sugya. Kohen Shelo Hayolo Echad Min Advarim Hamonim Min Nesiyas Kapayim. A Kohen who does not have one of the things that prevents one from doing Nesiyas Kapayim, messed up hands, whatever it might be, there are certain disqualifying factors that would make someone unable to do Nesiyas Kapayim. Afal pi she'eino chacham, even though he's not a chacham, okay, ve'eino medaktik b'mitzvos, and he's not careful about mitzvos. Oh, shahayu abrios miraninim achrav, or everyone is mocking him, and everyone's making fun of him, and everyone's saying terrible things about him. Oh, shelo hayim asol matanum abrios b'tzedek. He's dishonest in business. Hareze nosei kapav. He's a lot of duchen. Ve'ein monimoso. And we don't hold him back from duchening. V'fi shezum mitzvah saseh al kol kohen v'kohen shorei l'nesiyas kapayim. because it's a mitzvah saseh that any kohen who's eligible has an obligation to tuchin. Ve'ein omrim la'adar rasha hasef rasha v'himanim in a mitzvos. The worst advice to give a rasha is, oh, you're beyond hope, so you might as well just do more averos and not do any mitzvos. No, adrava, you have someone who's a rasha and he has an opportunity to do a mitzvah, let him do the mitzvah. That would be better. You want him to do mitzvos if he's a tzaddik or a rasha. Va'al titama v'tomar. The Rambam says, you might think, well, wait a second, that's very nice klape him, that he wants, that it's good for him to do the mitzvah. But I'm sitting there in the audience, I want a bracha from someone who's worthy of giving a bracha. Why should I be getting a bracha from a person who's a Mechal Shabbos and Gilei Arayos and all? I don't want a bracha from such a person. Says Rambam, v'al titama v'toma. Uma toil birchos hedyot zeh. Why is the bracha of this hedyot going to help? Hedyot, we normally say a simple person. It's where the word idiot comes from hedyot. It's, etymologically, that's where it comes from. She'ein kibul abracha toli b'kohanim. That the receiving of the bracha, says the Rambam, don't worry, it's not really, you're not getting a bracha from the Kohanim. Hashem says the Kohanim are going to be nosei kapayim va'ani avarchem. Now Hashem is going to bless. So Elo b'Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shnemar v'samu v'shmiyal b'nei Yisrael va'ani avarchem. Hakohanim osim mitzvasam, shenitzdavuba. Kohanim do their mitzvah v'Kodesh Baruch Hu berechem av mevarich Yisrael k'chevtza. And Hashem in His great rachmanus, He blesses Klal Yisrael. But the Kohanim do their mitzvah, and then Hashem gives the bracha. So don't worry, you don't want a bracha from that. You're not getting a bracha from that Kohen. You're getting a bracha from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is plenty worthy to give everybody a bracha. That's what the Rambam says. So are there any averos then that actually disqualify a person? What? None of them are Mechal Shabbos, and we'll get to Mechal Shabbos. So let's talk about what are the averos that disqualify, or at least might disqualify. So one aver is very clear. The Gemara Mesachos Brachos Daf Lamed Beis. The Gemara darshens from Pasuk Yodach Adam Mileu that if you have hands with blood on them, then you're not allowed to duchen, meaning if someone who murdered is not allowed to duchen. It's clear in the Gemara that's Halach Psuk and Shulchan Aruch. Someone who had murdered is not allowed to duchen. I once got a shayla from a chayal. No, I didn't get the shayla. I was with Rav Shechter when he got the shayla, and the shayla was that there was a chayal who was not a sniper. I think in order to be a sniper, you need two people. You need the guy who pulls the trigger, and the guy who does the spotting is the spotter. So the spotter wanted to know, should he no longer duchen because he aided in the mowing down of all these terrorists that they killed? What? So it's a mitzvah in that case. So it's Rav Vadia has a whole discussion about chayalim duchening. Is it just a din? Is it a din in the avera? It doesn't seem that it's a din in the avera because afilu asa tshuva, and zdonos nasa kizuchuyos. So even if he did tshuva, the halacha would be a murderer can't duchen. So the it may just be a din in these hands can't bring about duchening for whatever reason, that it's just a din in the heft of the hands that they can't duchen. Ah, good. Okay, so that's a discussion. And what if it was a total onus, or someone gets into a car accident and kills someone, a doctor, a surgeon? All these kinds of questions. It's really beyond. I don't want to get into a murder right now. But that's the one clear case that the Babli says. Now the Yerushalmi, there's a passage in Yerushalmi in Gittin where the Yerushalmi says, "Shalotomar, a person shouldn't say ish ploni megala arayos v'shofech damim. This guy is a megala arayos. He's a shofech damim. V'hu yivarcheni. He's going to bless me." Says the Yerushalmi, "No, you shouldn't say that." Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, umi mevarecha v'lo ani mevarecha. Hashem says, "He's not blessing you. I'm blessing you." So all the Achronim point out, the Rishonim already point out, wait a second. Early Achronim point out, wait a second. The Bavli said that a murderer, no matter what, is not allowed to duchen. And here what do we have? The Yerushalmi says that a person shouldn't say, this guy's a Megala Arayos, he's a Shofech Damim. Why should he give me a bracha? Don't say that. Hashem gives you the brachas. Even the Shofech Damim can give you the bracha. So what do you do? Stira between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. Okay, so steer between the Bavli and Yerushalmi. Says Beis Yosef, no. Not a steer between the Bavli and Yerushalmi. Beis Yosef, Kuf Chav Ches and Orchaim, which is a siman about Nesias Kapayim. Beis Yosef writes that if people are Meraninim Acharav that he killed, but we don't know that it's for sure true, then he can duchen. That's what the Yerushalmi was talking about. People are saying, that guy's a murderer, that guy's a thug, that guy. But no one knows. If you know that he murdered, then he's not allowed to duchen. The Arzarua says, no, it's all telling whether he did tshuva. If he did tshuva, he's allowed to do chen. If he didn't do tshuva, he's not allowed to do chen. Beis Yosef doesn't paskin like that, or Azrua. Beis Yosef paskins that even if he did tshuva, but if you know for sure that he murdered, then okay. But we're not dealing with any murderers over here. A second disqualification, Shulchan Aruch paskin Sif Lamed Zayin and Siman Kuf Chav Ches, someone who's Ovid Avod Zara is not allowed to do chen. That's one we're going to have to come back to. Most of the time, we're not dealing with someone who's actually Ovid Avod Zara, but offshoots of Avod Zara, or things that are similar to Avodah Zarah, Averos that are Shakul ke Avodah Zarah, or Kikfir Bakarosh Baruch Hu, that's where there may be something to discuss. And then the third issue, Shulchan Aruch Pasen Sif Mem, if a Kohen marries a Grusha, he's not allowed to Duchen. Well, wait a second. Kohen marries a Grusha, that's an Israel, I mean, it's bad, but it's an Israel love. We're not even in the league of Chil Shabbos, of Gilei Arayos. It's not a rayos, it's an isalav when a kohen marries a grusha. If a kohen marries a grusha, it's tfisas kiddushin. They're actually married when he marries a grusha. Living in sin, but they're actually married when a kohen marries a grusha. So why is it that a kohen marrying a grusha would pass him from nesias kapayim? Much bigger averos don't. Megala rayos doesn't. Excuse me, if he marries a dog, it doesn't. Pashtas. A rayos, mamish, it doesn't. Marries his sister, it doesn't. But he marries a grusha and passes him. So what's pshat? What? Oh, so one possibility is, well, in any case, we'd want them to break up. But over here, since there's a tfisas kiddushin, we want them to get divorced. There's a more simple explanation. The children are halalim, and what does that tell you about this marriage? That what's the problem with this marriage? The problem with this marriage is his kahuna. So his marriage is a slap in the face to his kahuna. So when the iser is about his kahuna, then it's going to pass him from duchenin. But if he marries his sister, then it's not, it has nothing to do with his kahuna. No one's allowed to marry the sister, so it's not going to. There's obviously no tefisas kiddushin either. That's arayos mamish. So that's not going to pass him from duchenin. That's not about the kahuna. So we hear in this case, let's say, in the case of Sam and Nick, it's arayos. There's no tefis kiddushin. It has nothing to do with this kahuna. So l'chora, from that sif in Shulchan Aruch, no one's going to pass one from duchni. Pashtus. It has nothing to do with this kahuna. Rabbi Willick said he wasn't sure. He got it from Chaz of the sugyas of in Avodah Zarah and Ashkaz, and maybe it does. It does have another din in the kahuna also. I don't know. I'm not sure. But it would seem that it doesn't. It would seem that this is not related to the kahuna. So what about other averus? So what do we say? We had a murder of Avodah Zarah marrying a grusha. That's mefurish in Shulchan Aruch. Are there any other averus Shulchan Aruch is not telling us about that would pass the kohen from duchenin? So the Rambam, as we said before, even if, say, people say that he's a megala arayos and all sorts of things. Now, assuming they didn't do tshuva, that the person didn't do tshuva, so the Beis Yosef clearly assumes in Kuf Chav Ches, even if you didn't do tshuva, but the person is over all sorts of averus, he eats nevelos and treifus and megala arayos, even if he didn't do tshuva, he's still allowed to duchen. And he's medayikit from the Lashon of the Rambam. Because what does the Rambam say? She'ein omrim la'adam rasha, hosef rasha v'imana min mitzvos. We don't tell a guy who's already a rasha, do more rishos. If he did tshuva, how could the Rambam call him a rasha? If he did tshuva, adrabah. If he did tshuva, me'ava, he's a bigger tzaddik. Afilu makom shesigim gemur momdim, right? He's beyond makom shemali tshuva momdim. Ain't shesigim gemur micholim lamod. He's greater than a tzaddik. How would the Rambam call him a rasha? So it must be that the Rambam is assuming he's still a rasha. But even though he's still a rasha, he hasn't done tshuva. Still, he's carrying his lunch bag with a McDonald's thing on it, and you can let him put down his lunch bag and let him go duchen. That's what it sounds like. That's how the Beis Yosef understands, even if he didn't do tshuva. Now, there is a tshuvas besamim rosh. Who wrote the tshuvas besamim rosh? Right, in quotes, the rosh. That, you know, some sober used to call the tshuvas besamim rosh the kizvei harosh. Instead of the kisvei harosh, chazav. It's sheker v'chazav. It's not the rosh. So some sober used to refer to it as the kizvei harosh. People used to think it was a typo. That it wasn't a typo. He knew exactly what he was writing. Samsov was one of the earlier people to catch on to the fact that it was a forgery. It was someone. It was someone who knew what he was talking about, but it wasn't the Rosh. So the Tshuva is B'Samim Rosh, and it's quoted in standard rabbinic literature. They still quote the Tshuva is B'Samim Rosh, but we know going in that it's not the Rosh. So Tshuva Sam Rosh says, no, if he didn't do tshuva, he's not allowed to duchen. And he's also medayik that way from the Rambam, but from a different line in the Rambam, and he says, Dafka Meraninim Achrav, that the Rambam says that he's allowed to duchen, but if you know that he does averos, Meraninim Achrav means that people talk about him, and people speak Lashon Hara, but you don't know for sure, but if you know, you know that he's doing averus, then he's not allowed to do. That's how the Tshuva Sam Rosh holds. How do we pass on the halacha? So in all the basic svarim, in the Aruch HaShulchan, Sifkat Nun Vav, in the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat Kuf Mem Dalid, in the Rav Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch Rav, the first Lubavitch Rebbe, that they all say, even if it's arayos, and even if he hasn't done tshuva, he's still allowed to do. So you have a guy who's an adulterer, he's allowed to duchen. Me'ikar adin. I spoke to Rav Willig. He told me that a known adulterer once came to a shul and he threw the guy out of shul. He said, "I anu matirim lespalim avaryanim. There are other shuls in the neighborhood. I'm not the only shul in town. I'm sure someone is more open-minded. And I'll, you can go there." Did this just come out? Oh, I don't have that one. Okay. Sorry, there's like a whole bunch of them I don't know. I spoke to Rav Sachs after the summer. I said, how's your summer? He said, good, I wrote 4 Svarim. Shaykh? Unbelievable. So that's the Meikar Adin will be allowed. Let's go to Chil Shabbos for a moment. Chil Shabbos. Mishabura quotes from Pri Chadosh that why is it that an Ovid Avodah Zarah is not allowed to duchen? Because he's kofar by Kodesh Baruch Hu. So some is Mechal Shabbos, Kilu, he's kofar by Maisa Bereshis, he's kofar by Kodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore it says, Prichadosh, quoted to Mishmur, the Mishmur doesn't quote anyone, it's Cholek, that a Mechal Shabbos is not allowed to duchen. What's the minute? Oh, someone, Yantuf, whatever Shul Yadav, somebody has a relative that comes for the high holidays or something.
The minute is we let them duchen,
it seems. Seems that's a minhag. Who dealt with this? So it was dealt with by Rav Moshe, and it was dealt with by Rav Avad Yosef. Now, one thing is important when you read poskim, you have to know who they're dealing with. When Rav Moshe was writing in the 1940s and 1950s about a kohen who's mechal Shabbos wanting to duchen, what kind of guy is he talking about?
A guy who has to work on Shabbos.
Exactly. There were a lot of people that wanted to be Orthodox, couldn't make a living, couldn't get fired every Friday, didn't stand up to that nisayon, and therefore worked on Shabbos. So Rav Moshe was dealing with that kind of case. When Rav Avad Yosef is talking about Mechal Shabbos, who's Rav Avad Yosef talking to? Chilonim, but think specifically, Rav Avad Yosef's target audience? Svardim. Traditional Svardim, who want to belong to an Orthodox shul, because Svardim don't have conservative and reform. There's no such thing. I think there's one Sephardic conservative shul that's down the block from me, but there's a, generally speaking, Sephardim never bought into such a mishigas. Okay, maybe I drive to shul on Shabbos, but I know it's wrong, and I know that they didn't buy into this. So you deal with people very tmimistic, very, big maminim. They'll, you ask them for $1 million to build a mikveh, they'll build a mikveh tomorrow. They'll daven with all their hearts, they drive in Shabbos. So Rav Avadia is talking to that kind of person, that kind of Mechal Shabbos. Rav Moshe is talking to that kind of Mechal Shabbos. So keep that in mind as they each say their kulas. Rav Avadia lists like 8 snifim lahakel for Mechal Shabbos. Mishabru says, based on Pri Chadosh, it's like he's kofar, Bakarosh Baruch Hu. Says Rav Avadia, Yabiyah Omer, the same tshuva. Chelek Zayin Simtazvav, Oz Gimel Orchaim. Says, nowadays people don't understand the severity of Chil Shabbos. Famous Chazanish, in Yerodea Simon Beis, Chazanish says everyone has a din of a Tinuk Shanishba nowadays, because no one really knows that it's, you talk to people who aren't brought up with it. Is it customary not to drive on Saturday? Customary. Everything's customary. There are no, especially in America, people aren't brought up with the idea of obligations, that you must, that there's a tzivui. There's no tzivui. There's customs. You have a custom this way. People have no idea what it means. They have no idea what Chil Shabbos means. So that's a tiruk shenishba. That's not a Mechal Shabbos. That would work for Rav Avadia's Mechal Shabbos. Probably not for Moshe's Mechal Shabbos. Definitely not l'chora for Sam and Nick. Well, for Sam. Second stiff lahakel, Rav Avadia says, you have kehilos that are full of people that are mechallel Shabbos. And rabbis doing unbelievable kiruv work in inspiring these people. If none of them would cause tremendous rifyon and machlokas in the community. Clearly Rav Vadia talking to the kind of community that you'd expect Rav Vadia to be talking to. That it was kilos full of people that are mechallel Shabbos. Third, they quote from the Binyan Tzion HaChadosh Simul Chav Gimel. Binyan Tzion writes, based on a Rashi in Chulin Daf Hey, most people view it as a heter and daven and say Kiddush. How are you going to tell a guy who davens and says Kiddush on Shabbos that he's kofar Maisa Bereshis? He says Kiddush on Shabbos. He davens HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says Shmon Esrei. Stands along Shmon Esrei. Kofar Maisa Bereshis? No, he has the Yetzer Hara. A really bad Yetzer Hara, and he gives in to the Yetzer Hara. He can't say it's kofar Maisa Bereshis. Then he quotes a Chuvus Yehuda Yala. Then Rav Vadia starts getting creative. Then he goes outside the box. Chuvus Yehuda Yala, who has such a shita that is only considered a mumar l'chala terukul if you have edim that he's mechal Shabbos. Okay. Then he says nowadays it's better to be makariv than to push away. Takaras hashavim. We have to know what works for each generation. When there was a strong insular Orthodox community and there was only a Torah community in the Jewish community, you were able to use a strong hand and it would get people in line. Now you use a strong hand, people would say, see ya, and they'll just go and do their own thing. So it's not going to work nowadays. And then he quotes a Tshuva Zekana Arun, Chelek Alav Simin Yibbeis, that maybe people nowadays don't really do Malachas D'Araisa. They only do Malachas D'Ravana, because we don't live in an agricultural society. So even Rav Vadia says, you know, I can't say that with a straight face. I mean, if you're driving a car, you're every time you hit the gas pedal, it's a melacha d'oraisa, nacha melacha d'oraisa, every time you hit the gas pedal. So it's hard to, only melachas d'rabbanan, very hard. Then he quotes the tshuvas, sukas shalom yitzchak. Of course. Simin hey. It says that what's going to happen, these Kohanim who don't know much are going to come to shul, they're not going to be allowed to duchen, they're going to start thinking they're not Kohanim, then the kids are going to marry grushas. So you have to, it's the only way they know they're Kohanim. You have to make sure they realize that they're Kohanim. So La'alacha Rav Vadia says, if they daven with the shul, they can duchen. If they come to shul to daven, they can duchen. Rav Moshe says it's not appropriate. And they should have the good sense to know that it's not appropriate for them to be mevarech. But me'yikra din it's mutter. And since me'yikra din it's mutter, you can't criticize someone who lets a mechal Shabbos duchen. You can understand that it's going to make people uncomfortable. So he says, "Meikra din it's mutter, but you know they should have the good sense. They can't. They once they're called up, they have to go. They should walk out before they call Kohanim." And Tzitz Eliezer in Chelik Yigimel Simin Yadal Rozayin is machmir unless the person does tshuva. But he says you don't have to make a macha and cause machlokas about it. But he says, "You asked me what to do. I would say Mechal Shabbos State Mishnah Brura Mechal Shabbos for Esya shouldn't tuchit." I think most places have the minhag like Rav Vadia says. But they let them chal Shabbos duchen. And they think it's nice, oh, it's sweet, you know, maybe you'll get into Yiddishkeit and it's okay. Are there any other considerations? A million other considerations. Rav Moshe writes, L'migdur milsa, like we said. Should have a good sense to walk out. Rav Shechter of Willig brought up a different idea. They brought up the idea that a kohen has to be merutza l'kahal. So if you look up and down in some Kuf Chav Ches, there is no such din that a Kohen has to be Merutza L'Kal. But what the Shulchan Aruch does say is, Kohen Shatzibur Sonim Oso. Oh, who Soneya Shatzibur? If there's a Kohen who the not the Shulchan Aruch, Mishabura in Sivkat Lamed Vav, says if you have a, based on a Zohar, if you have a Kohen who hates someone in the Tzibur, or the Tzibur hates him, Sakonahu l'kohen im yisa kapav. It's a sakana for him. For his own protection, don't let him be nosei kapav. V'lachein yetzei mi beis hakenes kodem. Ritzei yemeinu yachalach v'sitzro l'asir sinem ilibo. If he can't get over the hatred that's in his heart, leave before Ritzei. So you won't have to deal with the predicament. But the Mishnah says it goes either way. If he's hated or he's the one that hates. So Shachar Vulk said, if it's such a public spectacle and everyone knows, and people are up in arms, and people are, you know, walking out, So that would seem to fit the criteria of Sonei Oso. So then you should explain to the guy, it has nothing to do with your lifestyle. It has nothing to do with your Chil Shabbos. It's because people hate you. That's why you can't do it. So they wouldn't say it like that. I mean, they would say, you're not Merutza L'Kal. It's something that makes people here who are from a very... conservative way of thinking, it makes them uncomfortable. For you to be leading an Orthodox congregation, because Birkas Kohanim is a certain leadership role, it's not just that you're here. You're leading an Orthodox congregation, so if it makes everyone uncomfortable. Now, I saw in the Sefer Piskei Tshuvas, in Os Lamed Vav, he writes that you have to be very careful about this din of sone oso. Because there are poskim that talk explicitly about a Kohen who cheated everyone in the shul out of money. And he's allowed to duchen. That's not real sin. You know, they talk about all these crazy cases where people did these terrible things, and it's not real sin. But I would imagine that according to everyone's definition, if people are so angry that this person is duchening that they're walking out and that they're calling and emailing their rabbi for days later and threatening, you know, all sorts of, I'm going to leave the shul, I'm going to get you fired, I'm going to blah, 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 blah. And they're just in a tizzy about, you know. So probably that rises to the level of sone oso. As painful as that might be, that, you know, you could ask, well, why do they hate him and not the Mechal Shabbos? Not a stam Mechal Shabbos. Mechal Shabbos, he comes, oh, it's cute. He's Mechal Shabbos and he duchens. How sweet. Well, this guy comes because he has a different Yetzer Hara than Mechal Shabbos. What about the adulterer? They let him duchen. First of all, not every shul lets an adulterer duchen. I saw someone who grew up in Staten Island told me he remembers that Rabbi Marcus made a very big deal about throwing an adulterer out of duchening, telling him that not acceptable. You can't duchen. So, okay. Not your Rabbi Marcus, his uncle. You know, Rabbi Marcus is... Okay. So Meikra Adin, probably he can duchen if it's not a fishbowl environment where everyone knows who he is and people are turned off and people are... But if everyone's getting upset, Meikra Adin, probably he can't duchen in that case. You only find out how much people dislike it when he tries. So, you know, what about having a Gayin Shul? Any issue with that? So the Rav Shach said, based Tefillah L'Cholamim, Gayin wants to come to Shul, let him come to Shul. You could argue, though, that, you know, a guy who marries a Shiksa, would he ever bring the Shiksa to Shul, to an Orthodox Shul? He would never do that because it's such a slap in the face. To publicly, and over here it's worse because there's no women's section, men's section. I mean, they're both in the men's section, sitting right next to each other, passing the baby from one to the. You know, it's so obvious. So one could argue that's just, you know, it's so crass and insensitive to the rest of the people in the shul that even though you don't throw a guy out of shul, the guy wants to come to shul. Okay, let him come to shul. You're not going to there as long as he behaves himself. But, you know, if it's a public kind of display of an Avera, that has no place in Shul. That has no place anywhere. People have Yetzer Haras all the time. And they do things that are wrong all the time. But to publicly display it. I was listening to a shmooze from a yeshiva in a different yeshiva recently. And he was saying that in the yeshiva where he is, there are guys in the yeshiva that have girlfriends that they walk up and down the block with, holding the girlfriend's hand right in front of the Rebbe. The Rebbe walks down the block and he sees... So you want to do this, you know, you want to be an Avarian, but to publicly display your Averis? We're not sensitive to public displays of Averis. We're sensitive to people who struggle with the Yetzer Hara. Right. So Mikan Alaba, right. Let's say Mikan Alaba, you would say, you know, it's not appropriate. You know, you shouldn't. Why does he have to come to Shul? That's the L'cha'ura, what you can say. And everyone, obviously, is going to be very sensitive about this. There is an Inyan by Birkas Kohanim that some of the posts can discuss about a goy being present, based on a passage in the Zohar, that it blocks the bracha from being chal when a goy is in the room. But Pashtus, I think Ber Hetev already points out that that's a misunderstanding. That it doesn't, when it says akum, it doesn't mean a goy, it means an actual avodah zarah. So if you bring your little Buddha into shul, that might block the bracha. But having a guy in the shul in general, I don't think we're makapid that's gonna block the bracha. The baby's a whole different parasha. We're not gonna get into tonight. But when dealing with this kind of issue, it's important that we realize that you have to distinguish between what we do on a public communal level and how we relate to a person on a private personal level. There are people that struggle with yetzer haras of all different sorts. And you need to be sensitive to them and you know, relate to their struggle and try to help them overcome the Yetzer Hara in whatever the Yetzer Hara might be, and, you know, develop strategies to defeat whatever Yetzer Hara in whatever way is healthy and is appropriate, you know. But our ultimate answer, we ultimately answer to God. But once an Avera becomes a Shita and a self-definition and a publicly displayed thing, as a community, we're not sensitive, at least Lanius Daiti. I don't think the Torah community should be sensitive to an Avera that's a Shita. An Avera that a person does, we're sensitive to a person. But to be sensitive to an Avera that's a Shita, I think that's a very, very dangerous thing for a community to do. Yeah.